is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are recording on a Wednesday night. It is January 22nd, and you're listening to episode number 248 tonight. It's another all-basketball episode, as since the last time we spoke to you guys, the Red Raiders have played four basketball games and are currently on a 3-0 stretch, beating the Wildcats, and the Bearcats. So a lot of basketball to get into. Red Raiders trending upwards right now, and we're going to get all into that. So with all that said, let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
Well, Dustin, since the last time we hopped on the mics, the Red Raiders played Iowa State, Kansas State, Arizona, and Cincinnati. They started that stretch with a one-point loss to Iowa State, then have since gone on a three-game winning streak. So before we kind of start diving into the games, what's your vibes of Texas Tech basketball coming off a win over Cincinnati last night?
Yeah, we got a lot of good basketball to talk about from the last 2 weeks. This has been a pretty good stretch. Like, looking back over the last few years, like, this is one of our better, it's like 2 week stretches, even though we had a 1 point loss in there. Mostly you can take some good from that game. Yeah. And so things are looking really good. 4-0 on the road is huge.
It's crazy.
And then, yeah, you got back on track on at home, took down a good Arizona team. So things are looking good. And like the other big picture with like the individuals, like it's not even the same guy every night is kind of the good thing of it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Darian Williams just has 4 points. It's two or three other guys step up.
Yeah.
Oh, Elijah Hawkins going to hit 7 threes this game. And so it's been different guys, and also guys realizing, hey, it's not my night. Let me walk in and play defense and rebound and help everybody else get their shots. Cause you've seen Chance do that. You've seen D5 do that. And so it's been really good teamwork through these individuals as well.
Yeah. I just think you're really starting to figure this team out. Like, when you really think of it, this is the most they've gotten to play together consecutively. Cause think of all the missed time you've had when you started the season. Hawkins and Anderson were missed the first couple games. Then, you've missed a couple games with Fetty. Toppin missed several games there down the end of non-conference. So you never really got the chance for this team to gel. And when you think of all the new pieces that you added with some of the old, it always takes a while for that team chemistry to really develop. And so now in conference play, you're starting to get that consistency with this team, and it seems like they're starting to figure some stuff out on the defensive side of the floor, which has been important. Offensively, you've just, like you said, you got a lot of guys who can kind of shoulder the load of the scoring each and every game. You've got a young freshman in Christian Anderson who's coming along. You've had Kevin Overton who, you know, picked his moment in the Cincy game and kind of came out. And of course, JT Toppin, Darian Williams, Chance McMillan have been pretty consistent for you so far, and Elijah Hawkins has been awesome. So yeah, you're really just kind of getting this team figured out here early in conference play, and they're starting to figure out what they need to do and how to win each game. And some of these haven't been pretty. Kansas State yes. one, but you found ways to win. And even in that one loss to Iowa State, you really found, I think you played a really good game against a really good basketball team in Iowa State. So that's nothing to hang your head over. But that's the game that will start as the first game since the last time we spoke to you guys. It was the number two Iowa State Cyclones at the time, and Red Raiders fell 85-84 in overtime. Tough loss. Had a chance at the buzzer there from Darian Williams to win it. Unfortunately missed it, but it was a game that you led pretty much the entirety of the game. Iowa State made a little run there in the second half to cut it close. Missed some free throws down the stretch. All your best free throw shooters, Chance, Elijah Hawkins, Darian Williams, all missing a free throw down the stretch of this game that could have iced it. Said Iowa State finds the way to tie the game, gets overtime, and come away with the victory. I know it's been a bit since this game, but yeah, when you reflect back on this Iowa State game, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you can mostly take good from this game, I think, because this is going to be one of the best teams you play in conference, and honestly, one of the best teams you're going to play all year.
Yeah.
A lot of good pieces back from this team from last year. That was really good. Well coached. I mean, we made TJ Osselberger look like a genius on his out of bound plays that he was just dialing up like he was Bill Self. And you played really, really well for most of this game. I think like the two things you can really look at, and because our defense was locked in and active in this game, you could see that from the start, and it lasted the whole game. It didn't really let up. There were some times Iowa State got us in transition and got points before we could really get set up, and that's where you slacked. But the two big points was like the points in the paint given up was massive. I think in the first half, all but two of Iowa State's points came in the paint. So, yeah, we have a problem with, you know, bigger, thicker post players. And Iowa State has some good guards that can get to the rack as well. So that was pretty tough. And I think where you start to let Iowa State get back into this one that I can really pinpoint was early to middle of the second half. Elijah Hawkins picked up his fourth foul pretty early. And you had to go on like a 7 or 8 minute stretch without him and Christian Anderson as the primary ball handler. And Iowa State has some very good defensive guards. They turned up the pressure on him. He struggled a little bit being that primary ball handler up the floor. And our offense kind of went in the toilet for a while. And that's where Iowa State was able to run, get up on us, and then set up their defense. And that really kind of turned the tide a little bit and let them back in it. I didn't feel great going into overtime because you shouldn't have ever let it get there in that last minute. You should have won and iced that game with some free throws. And then free throws cost you in overtime as well. So, those like pinpoint things, but overall pretty good game. You competed with one of the best teams, top five ranked team, really, really good experienced team. And I was for the most part impressed with that.
Yeah, it was a building loss, and I know we're not much for taking, you know, we don't like to take the, you know, good things out of a loss. We're people who, you know, hate that, but at the same time, this is a team that you've been kind of waiting to see them do something like this, play up to this level that you've thought that they could play at. They just haven't yet this season, and so it was good to see them do that. It came out the gates playing with some energy, which was nice to see. And they played up to the level of Iowa State the entirety of that game, even down the stretch where you had a chance to win it. The things that I think really caused the trouble in the second half was foul trouble. You had Darian and Elijah both who had foul trouble, and those are your two guys that you kind of rely on to get offense going when things are struggling. And both of them, I think, had to be off the floor for several minutes as you just tried to buy your time. And so, you know, I think they responded every time Iowa State came back and grabbed a lead. They always were able to, you know, kind of get back into the game when it felt like, all right, here's where Iowa State takes over. Ultimately, it came down to some fouls at the end. I hate that refs kind of get involved that way, but that's kind of what it came down to. And you had a chance. Darian just missed what was a pretty decent look that you could find with like 4 seconds to get down the court, got all the way into the paint and was able to get up a decent look, but ultimately saw what you needed to see from this team, I think, in this game, and something that struck some confidence that, all right, maybe this is a something we can build off of and take into some winnable games, where next you headed to Manhattan and faced off with the Kansas State Wildcats, a team that had been struggling this season, continues to struggle. And this was the least memorable game to watch. Unless you like bad basketball, then it was memorable for you. If you like to watch just teams not be able to dribble a basketball, pass a basketball, shoot a basketball, if you liked all that, then that last 6 minutes of this game were awesome for you. But you eked out a 61-57 win over Kansas State, and not pretty, and a win is a win, and you haven't won in Manhattan in a couple years. It's a place that you've kind of struggled. So to be able to get a win there was good, but this is a terrible Kent State basketball team. They're not good. They weren't playing good this game. You just kind of played down to their level, and I think that's what startled me a little bit, was I was hoping we would be a team that wouldn't play down to our opponent, but that was kind of the case. Lacked energy. The crowd was awful there, so I understand it being kind of hard to get up for this one, but ultimately got the job done, got the win thanks to a little Darian Williams bucket on a terrible possession that you prayed to go in, and it somehow went in. But what are your thoughts on this terrible basketball game against the Kansas State Wildcats?
Yeah, this was an ugly, ugly win. You never apologize for winning, but that was god-awful. I hope we never see us play like that again. Whether it be in a win or a loss, to be honest.
There was 4 points scored in the last 5 minutes of that game.
And I think it was more than that, really.
No, it was only four. You had two buckets, and they didn't score the last five and a half.
God-awful. Coleman Hawkins gave us a little scare there late in the first half. He kind of hit back-to-back threes, and we were like, oh, great. Hawkins remembered how to play basketball. And then he went back to being a shell of himself like he's been all year. And, I mean, yeah, freaking awful, awful game. I mean, Toppin was sick this game, right? Is that the game he was sick?
Yeah, Toppin, the rumor was that he had strep throat. And
yeah,
so
15 minutes and 6 points. He was kind of a non-factor for you.
Yeah, he was pretty bad.
He got
bad
Kerwin Walton
one.
Treatment that game. Fetty showed up for you and filled in well. He's done that a lot this year for you. That's been a really good bright spot, especially over the last month, but. Yeah, just awful that we played down to their level on our offensive end when that's our strength of this team by far. I mean, Kansas State's offense fell right into our laps of what we like to do, and that's just hope you miss shots.
Yeah.
And they love to do that. They only shot 36% for the whole game. They made 19 shots this entire game.
God,
so yeah, awful. Glad we got a dub, got out of there, and then turned back into what we should be these last other couple games.
Yeah, it's just crazy that
it hurt my eyes to watch.
Yeah, it really made me like not want to watch basketball for like a week. It was like, wow, this was just terrible. Dudes falling over the place trying to save basketballs, and it was just. Terrible. Their last bucket was with 5 minutes and 50 seconds left in
there
the game, and they did not score. It was 57-57, and then you scored, and then you scored at the end with Darian Williams, and that was it. Other than that, it was turnovers, bad shots, rebounds, and blocks, and turnovers, and terrible basketball. Not really much reason to stay and ponder this game, but like I said, a win's a win, and you don't want to apologize.
The turnovers thing you brought up, because it was – this Kansas State game and the Iowa State game, it kind of happens sporadically every game too. Like, we got to lock in on outletting rebounds not so lazily.
Yeah.
Because we've given the ball up stupid turnovers that way. And sometimes that just happens on the offensive end sometimes with just a weak pass for no reason. Like, got to dial it in, especially with like Houston coming up. They'll eat us alive if we do
so. Weak passes and just not being strong with the ball in your hands. You knew Iowa State was going to get up in your grill on defense.
Yeah.
And there was just several times in that game where you just, you know, let them kind of come up and take the ball away. Happened a few times against Kent State. Happened a couple times against Arizona. I think, you know, you had a couple times where they just
ripped really
the ball.
That'd really be the only criticism I have of our offense all year, honestly.
Yeah, I got to watch the turnovers, just the silly ones. I get it when you're like we've always talked about, when you're trying to make a play and, you know, don't read it right. But there are several times where it's just weak ball handling, weak dribbling, putting the ball right out in front of the defender, making a lazy pass, stuff like that. It's come back to haunt you a few times.
Yes.
But then we shift our focus to the other Wildcats, the Arizona Wildcats, right. New Big 12 newcomer, their first time coming to the USA. So it was a fun packed house at the USA. Red Raiders were looking to get their first Big 12 home dub on the season, and they were able to do that by notching a 70-54 victory over Arizona. It was a very close game throughout until the final 5 minutes, like you did versus Kent State. You shut Arizona down the last 5 minutes of the game. They didn't score. I went back and rewatched the last 8 minutes of the game. They scored 4 points. They made one field goal in the last 8 minutes. The other two came from free throws.
I know you other went on that, a 12 over running. You just shut them down.
You were able to build a league. Kill shot is what I guess it's called. And defense looked great. Offense really found some separation. And then you were making them just settle for terrible jump shots. They came kind of desperate at the end. And you're able to take advantage of that, pulling away with a nice victory to get yourself that first Big 12 conference home win against the Arizona team that at the time was 5-0 in Big 12 conference play. So it was good to hand them their first conference loss. What are your thoughts from the exciting victory over Arizona this past Saturday?
Yeah, this is probably my favorite win of the year so far, with handling them all game and then really just putting the nail in the coffin at the end of the game with that 12-0 run to end it. And you made a potential All-American or former All-American and Caleb Love look normal. I mean, we had to double check what number he was sometimes. I mean, he was 3 for 13. Yeah, I forgot he was playing
multiple times.
And like, yeah, a couple other dudes just either looked awful or only got buckets because refs gave them free throws. Like, you made them look pretty terrible. Your defense was really, really good this whole game. I really liked the rebounding that you crushed them on in this game. I mean, rebounding was 34-50, so plus 16 on the rebounds, and you had 16 offensive rebounds. That's a lot of good extra possessions there. And so really loved what we got there. JT Toppin was
Toppin at 16.
Back in form with 16 rebounds and 20 points, just dominating with that left hand. I texted it to the group last night while we were watching the Cincinnati game, and it amazes me when he goes post up and defenders know he's only going left. They're giving up a ton of room on the right, and he just won't go right and still makes a shot. And so he's back to his really good post-up form and dominating on the glass, and Chance popped back with a good 14. So, yeah, really good overall game for us there.
Yeah, it was good to see Toppin kind of get back to his ways in this one. He's had some odd Big 12 games, but you're realizing, you know, he was kind of a little unhealthy there and then got sick. And so he looked like back to his full self there, 2016. He had that one play in the first half where he, like, got his – like three rebounds and got an and one, and he just looked very engaged in this game, and he was a definite offensive presence for you. That was awesome. Chance was knocked down a couple threes for you. Christian Anderson had a really good game, hit some clutch threes, and just everybody played pretty well. You did all this with Darian Williams, you know, only scoring 6 points, not really feeling that effective on the offensive end. He's kind of disappeared these last two games offensively. I don't know what's going on with him, but
yeah, it's a little weird.
He hasn't been himself on the offensive side of the ball. Maybe it's all those sprained ankles he keeps getting. But yeah, you did what you needed to do. The defense was awesome. They made them look really average. Like I did not seem too impressed with Arizona watching them. Like you said, none of their guys really could create separation. They had a couple big guys, but they weren't anything like the Iowa State big guys who gave you problems down low. You were able to really contain them, which kind of makes me think you can maybe go into their house and steal another victory against these guys. I just wasn't all that impressed by watching them play, and I think that's credit to our guys and what they were able to do.
Awaka was their best big man, I guess you could say. But he didn't, like, blow you away out there. He had 14 rebounds, and that's really about it. I mean,
yeah,
Trey Townsend points at the from that Oakland team, I kept saying during the game, like, he's terrible. Keep leaving him in the game to guard people because he's either not big enough or he's too slow. And we were just eating him alive. And then, like, KJ Lewis, he was a really non-factor out there for getting 25 minutes for Arizona. Yeah. So, yeah, I wasn't that impressed either.
Yeah, you look at their, like, shooting. KJ
18
Lewis
for 58.
He was 1 of 7. Caleb Love was 3 of 13. Trey Townsend, 2 of 9.
They were only 3 of 18 from 3 to overall.
Like, several of their guys got a lot of points from the free throw line just by getting there. So, yeah, this is, like you said, this is my favorite win of the season so far. I think this is, like, the most complete game you've played. I think offensively you could left a little bit to maybe be desired, but, you did what you needed to do. Defensively, it was kind of where you're wanting to see this team improve, and that's what was impressive in this one, is being able to hold the Arizona team to 54 points, a team that had been playing really good ball so far in conference play, and you were able to do that to them defensively. And you're able to get the job done despite Darian Williams having only 6 points. And so, yeah, you'll take that win. It was a big win to get at home. And now you back-to-back wins with the trip to Cincinnati. And, well, the Red Raiders pulled away with another victory over the Bearcats last night, a 81-71 victory over Cincinnati. Odd game. This is, you could say, like, all these Tech games so far in conference play have been kind of just odd, especially the road games. They've just kind of felt weird. I don't know what it's been so far, but came out terrible offensively. I think you were, like, 1 of 8 from 3 to start the game, 3 of 13 from the field to start the game. Didn't really look like the team was all that engaged in this one. Wasn't sure if this was going to be a Cincinnati blowout or just one of those odd games again, like Kent State. And all of a sudden, the offense got going, and all of a sudden, 3 started falling. Kevin Overton kind of helped get things started. Christian Anderson, Chance McMillan hitting some threes. Elijah Hawkins doing things on offense. JT Toppin doing his normal thing of getting buckets down low with that little left hook. And all of a sudden, the offense just took off. Defense was not so super impressive in the first half. I think Cincinnati was just getting bucket after bucket like a layup line. But ultimately, in the second half, he created the separation that you needed to. We're able to keep them kind of at 7 points the entirety of that second half. It always felt like they were hanging around waiting to make a play to get back in the game. But you never really able to let them do that. You always kept your separation and able to pull off a victory against Cincinnati, a team that you struggled with last year. Just kind of shows the growth of this team and the kind of team that you've put together that bounced back, because that's a very similar team. They had several guys that beat you last year, and you're able to do this on the road. What are your thoughts on that victory over the Cincinnati Bearcats last night?
Yeah, I really liked what I saw in this game. I didn't think it was as weird as maybe you did. I know we got down early, like 14-7 in the first 5 or 7 minutes of that first half. But then after that, we pretty much locked in, got the offense back on track, like you said.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cincinnati had a lot of hype coming into the year, you know, ranked a little bit over you, ranked in that 20-ish range most of the year. They have some good
projected
size
to finish in front of you in the Big 12 standings there.
Yeah, they got some length. They brought in some good dudes. Dylan Mitchell from Texas, big recruit a couple years ago for them. I was always impressed with him, and he was good again. But yeah, really just handling your stuff. Chance and JT stepping up. Another amazing Christian Anderson game. I mean, this kid's ridiculous right now. You kept him. That was my favorite thing that second half, was you kept him at that 7 point plus range and never let them really sniff closer than that. And like, oh, we have a chance, one stop in a bucket. And, you know, it's a one possession game. You never gave them that chance. And that was really nice to see. Yeah, Kevin Overton stepped up with some huge threes in that first half to get us going and get us a decent lead to start us off. The only thing about Cincinnati that I couldn't take seriously the whole game was Jizzle
James.
I get that he's their best player in 17 points, but when the announcers kept having to say Jizzle with the jump shot, I can't take him seriously.
Yeah.
But is overall for us, great game.
Is it Jizzle or Grady Dick who's like the hardest to take seriously on the
I'll still take Grady Dick over Jizzle.
Jizzle or Grady Dick. either of them. They also have a Day-Day Thomas. They have some interesting names on that team. But yeah, I was just impressed by the offensive performance in this one. This is a very good Cincinnati defense. I think are like top 10 in defense.
I think they're giving up just over 60.
Yeah. And so they're able to put 81 points on them. Yeah, when you're hitting shots, this offense is really hard to stop, and that's just kind of what you were doing. You know, Chance made three threes. Kevin Overton made three threes. Christian Anderson had four threes. You know, JT Toppin was doing his thing down low. And that's where this team's going to be really tough to beat. And you did this again with Darian Williams just having like 4 points and being a huge non-factor on offense, really, for you, scoring-wise.
But like I said to begin this, he stayed engaged and involved defensively and rebounding and distributing. He's like, hey, shots, either they're not giving it to me or they're not falling, but we're going to get everybody else going. That's what I love about Darian. He stays in there.
And – I mean, Christian Anderson's just becoming one of the best stories of this Red Raider basketball team and what he's been able to do. You've kind of needed it with the, you know, what Kerwin's doing, is, which is not playing basketball, really just giving you pretty much nothing out there. You've kind of needed somebody else to step up and score. Kevin Overton's kind of had a struggle so far in conference play. He was much better in that game, and so hopefully that's a sign of things to come for him, but he's really been awesome for you, Christian Anderson, and being providing some other scoring, some playmaking, creating his own shot, the ability to get to the rim, confidence, knocking down threes. Like, this kid's got game, and he's fun to watch.
My favorite thing about this kid, he can handle the ball like one-on-one in the shot clocks, and he can get up whatever shot he wants. It might be a very terrible shot. There's part of me that's like, I might go in though. Like, he's jacking up some indie shot clock stuff with dudes in his face, double clutch, like sideways throwing the ball. He gets every one of them up and to the rim. Like, he gives it a good chance. And like we saw in that Iowa State game, he was making some clutch buckets in that game that were ridiculous. Yeah. So it's awesome to watch him.
Yeah, he made like a ridiculous step back three in the Iowa State game. He had a play in the Arizona game where he took a guy to the hole, did a little spin move, kissed it off the glass. And this game, you know, he's doing a little bit of everything, knocking down threes, the ability to be able to kind of get down low and hit some little kind of falling back shots. He's just got he's a very gifted offensive player. And that was what we're hearing heading into the season. But he's really starting to, you know, get a lot of minutes, 35 minutes in this game. You know, one of your best lineups is that closing lineup where you're going with Toppin, D5, Hawkins, Chance, and Christian Anderson. Like, you're really relying on him for big minutes as just a freshman, and he's lived up to it, and he stepped up, and he's playing well. And not to mention he had three steals. Like, so one of the things that we thought was going to be maybe an issue with him was defense with his size, but he's been a factor on the defensive side of the ball, creating havoc for guys who are he's defending. Coming away with turnovers, forcing steals. I've just been really impressed with him, and it's been fun to watch him just continue to get better and better and become just more of a consistent guy for you on both sides of the court. Any other things from this game that you really wanted to bring up? Or
no, not right now.
I don't really know if there's anything else other than the Red Raiders are 4-0 on the road in Big 12 play so far. Not something that you would really think with how hard the Big 12 conference is, how hard it is to play on the road. I wouldn't say we played a gauntlet of teams on the road yet, but this was a good Cincinnati team. Like you said, hired coming into the season, they had a lot of hype around them. You know, brought back a team that just missed the tournament last year, added some depth pieces, and you were able to go into their own arena and really control that game. So another nice effort from this basketball team. Gets you to 5-2 in Big 12 conference play, 14-4 overall. Right now you're in fourth place. So kind of that area that we thought we would be in, Might be hard to climb right now with Houston, Iowa State up at the top. Arizona's kind of right with you. Kansas is right with you as well. So looks like you're going to be in that top five, though, of Big 12 race so far in the season. But right now, Raiders are cooking on both sides of the court right now. Saw a stat on Haslametrics that we have the 7th most efficient offense and 27th most efficient defense. Why that's important is like every national champion over the last, I don't know, 20 years has had a top 10 offense and a top 30 defense. So there's only like a handful of teams this season that have that. The Red Raiders are in that. We're currently averaging 82.9 points per game. John Rothstein pointed out that this might be Grant McCaslin's best offense ever. You're really one of the most efficient, one of the best offenses in the country. Chance McMillan's having himself one of the best offensive players in the country with what he's doing. Just what are your thoughts on where the Red Raiders stand now after that victory and kind of as we head into an important home game stretch here with an opportunity to move to 7-2 with Oklahoma State and TCU coming to town?
Yeah, this offense is a lot of fun to watch. And, I mean, a lot of the reason I wanted Elijah Hawkins is because of this. Like, the offense flows a lot better. He makes some stuff happen. I think I couldn't find the stats, but I saw them earlier. Like, we're like number one in transition offense, number one in catch and shoot. Our 3-point made per game and our 3-point percentage is ridiculously high. I mean, and I didn't see that in the stats, but I just know from box scores, our offensive rebounds are way up there. And that's not just like Fetty and Toppin. Chances and Darian are really good at grabbing those too.
I think we're the best offensive rebounding team in the Big 12. I think they said that in the game last night.
I'd believe that. I mean, we're getting double-digit offensive rebounds a game easily, and that's on probably bad nights. Usually we're getting closer to 14, 15, 16. That's amazing. And so, yeah, it's a lot of fun to watch. And, yeah, throwing a guy like Christian Anderson who is not afraid to shoot it and is a really good shooter, ball handler, creator as well. And so the pieces are well fit, like we talked about in the preseason, and it's all coming together. Yes, by far Grant's best offensive team, and it's going to be a tough one to beat later on too.
I definitely think it took some time for us to get here. I've definitely been skeptical of this team at points, but like what you've seen over the last stretch of games has been the team that you kind of thought you were getting at the beginning of the year. And so, yeah, this is a team that can beat you in a lot of ways, and that's what you need to go on a deep run in March, is a team that can beat you defensively, beat you offensively, beat you on the rebounding, create turnovers, just kind of those things, control the ball. Like, you have those moments where you turn the ball over, but then you have moments where you got Elijah Hawkins who has a whole game with 10 assists and zero turnovers. Yes. You know, you have those kind of stretches of games. So, yeah, you've done a lot of this without Darian playing his best basketball too.
That's a plus.
So that just kind of tells me what level you can reach, because when Darian starts playing and getting back to that offensive standard that you have for him, like, that's just even another weapon to add. And so that's you can only get better. You did 81 points on the road with Darian only scoring 4.
Yeah.
But it just shows you this team can beat you in a lot of several ways. Inside, outside, outside, inside, passing the ball, creating lanes. I just love watching this offense. The ball moves, even when it's just kind of, you know, Hawkins has that tendency to kind of dribble a lot, like some of the guards, but he always is moving with purpose. It's not like
he's trying to go somewhere and make
Davion
Harmon or something happen.
Yeah. And he's so like fast dribbling the ball.
Joe Toussaint, dribble, dribble, dribble.
Dribble, dribble, like those pointless dribbles. Like, he's always trying to create something, trying to find a lane, trying to find the advantage that he can to create for Chance, to create for Darian, to try to get top in the ball down low. Like, he's always, you just got to keep your head on a swivel when you're a defender just to try to keep up with him.
Yeah.
So quick with the ball. But I really like the way this team has come together. The only thing that's disappointing, I guess, to me is just Kerwin has gone back to the Mark Adams Kerwin that we didn't like, instead of the Kerwin that was so good for you last year. I don't really know what that is, but I just don't get why we're starting him anymore. It's just kind of a waste of
like you keep giving him chances to do something and he won't turn back into what he was doing last year for you in some spurts. And like, I get that he needs to give you like 10 minutes a game just to relieve some guys, but it's very disappointing in what has happened on this year and how it looks.
Maybe he would be better if he just goes to the bench and he can come in. Because I don't. Right now, it just feels like you're starting 4-on-5, and you could be starting Christian Anderson. You could be starting Kevin Overton there, and be 5-on-5. And you know what he's doing right now is nothing, and he can't even make the open threes that you're giving him. So I don't know what needs to be done there. It seems like Grant's okay with just running him out there as a starter every single game, even though he's only playing less minutes than just about everybody else who actually plays. So frustrating to see that. I want Kerwin to do good. So maybe something happens. Who knows? Maybe he kicks it into gear, starts making a three. Maybe first three goes down next game and he becomes another player, the player that we had seen last year. You never know. But next up for the Red Raiders is it's a little mini homestand. We got a 2 p.m. tip-off with Oklahoma State on Sunday. That's on Sunday. I know several people thought it was Saturday, but it is Sunday. And then a Wednesday night 6 p.m. tip against TCU. So what do you think about this upcoming homestand for Texas Tech against two teams that you should beat? Oklahoma State team who's not very good, a TCU team that's been a bit of a struggle so far this season, and an opportunity to get back to over 500 at home and set yourself up at 7-2 in conference play.
Yeah, you need to win these, one, their home games, two, their lesser opponents. That doesn't mean take them lightly, because we know how the Big 12 works. I mean, TCU's hanging and fighting with Kansas right now. I mean, Oklahoma State drug out Arizona for about 30 minutes of their game last night. So handle your business at home and against these lesser teams. I mean, Oklahoma State does not have anywhere close to the talent or experience that you do. I mean, they freaking start Robert Jennings.
Yeah.
Like, and he's averaging like 7-6 a game. So, like, that's who JT Toppin and Darian get to match up with. Like, this, yeah. That's great.
That's fantastic.
Like, think about that. So, handle that. TCU, I feel like you've struggled with them. They've had some talent in the last few years, but I think they're a little less this year than what they have been. But you also really need to handle these two games and get to 7-2, because your two games after that are – your toughest stretch of the year, with at Houston and then Baylor at home. Yeah. That's pretty rough a span of like 4 days. So get these two wins, because you got a couple rough ones coming up.
Yeah, luckily Baylor's not as good either as you thought. So, I mean, but they're still going to put up a fight, and that they're obviously not a team that you want to overlook. But yeah, just get the job done these two games. You got to beat the teams that you need to beat, especially at home.
Maybe just get Darian back on track too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what I would be looking for, is get Darian on track, keep the offense going. Keep Kevin Overton getting some good minutes and good offensive minutes for you. Let Toppin continue to do his 20 points, 15 rebounds, whatever. Just kind of keep the process going, get the confidence up on offense, still work on some things defensively here, but take care of business against two teams that you should be much better than. Don't let them be close either. You know, I want to see us go out, put it on these teams, especially Oklahoma State. Like, you know, you're better than them. Let's not do like the Kent State game where you play down to your opponent and kind of let them hang around, go out there and beat up on some teams and get us to 7-2 in conference play, feeling good about yourselves before, like you said, things are going to get tough. You got to go to Houston here soon, and they're breaking out some. Did you see the jerseys that they're going to wear in this one? They're breaking out some new jerseys, though.
Bringing out the Houston Baby Blues, the Oiler
Baby Blues,
Oiler looking jerseys. Like, those are sick. It. And so,
damn, those look good. Let's
lock in.
You got to lock in. Could be a good color rush game if you're wearing like all black or all red. Like
I think we got to wear colors for that.
Yeah, that'd be a sick color rush game, but. Good basketball being played by the Red Raiders right now, improving their NCAA tournament seeding. You've gone up from like a 10 to now seeing you on the 7-6 line. So opportunities ahead to continue to improve your resume, and secure like a good seed. If you can keep going on a run, who knows how high you could get. I know your non-con's going to kind of knock you down a little bit there, but seeing some places that we can get up to a 4 or 5. So let's continue this steady good basketball. Go get some home dubs this week against Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and TCU.
Don't forget that's a Sunday game, guys.
Don't forget it's on Sunday at 2 o'clock. So don't show up at
weird game.
Don't show up on Saturday at 2 o'clock. There's not going to be a game there. But yeah, unfortunate that it's on Sunday because it's right when the first NFL playoff game kicks off. But luckily, the Chiefs is the night game, so we're good on that. But that'll do it for Texas Tech basketball coverage this week. Before we get out of here, Dustin, your final shot for the week.
College football season wrapped up on Monday night with the Natty. One, stupid that it's still on Monday night. Like, so let's get stupid. That thing on Saturday, like every other college football game is. And it's also too late in the year, I feel like, into like NFL playoffs and stuff. We've got to figure that schedule out.
We talked about it over the weekend, but you could figure something out and play that game on Saturday night easily.
Oh, God, yeah. Easily. It's not like you play literally 95% of your games on Saturday the rest of the year. Like, well,
let's
come on.
Do it on Monday. Let's do it on Monday night when everybody's got to go to work on Tuesday morning.
Talking basketball and football on Monday night championship. Only time. But
the only thing that was good, I thought, was the game kicked off at 6:30, so at least the game was over by 10. Unlike like previous years, I felt like it always started at 7:30, and then by the time it actually kicks off, it's 7:45. And
yeah, time was good and like fine,
at
but
least
yeah,
ended at 10.
Somewhat of a blowout of a game. Ohio State is who we thought they were, with lots of talent, and you know, maybe just don't play Michigan and they're really good. And yeah, Notre Dame just didn't have the dudes to keep up and stop Ohio State's offense and Chip Kelly's play calling and Jeremiah Smith was ridiculous. You know, Kansas State didn't want Will Howard anymore. They wanted to go with Avery Johnson and he looks like a pretty damn good quarterback after that. I'm just glad that Notre Dame made it a game in the fourth quarter and interesting at least, like, because from the middle of the second to the end of the third quarter, it was not looking pretty, you know, the blowout and not very interesting. So,
yeah, I was about to go to bed and then they scored that touchdown to make it 15. I was like, I'll stay up a little longer.
We got a little chance here. And got a fun goal. Okay. It was fun though. And now we get to ride the hype train with Texas Tech offseason for another 6 months before we get to play again and see how that goes. We're the dark horse again already.
It feels like that 2 years ago all over again. And I'm going to manage my expectations this time better. But yeah, you know, we had that first Notre Dame drive. We had that 9 minute, 18 play, 75 yard drive. And I was like, okay, maybe they got a chance. And then quickly, they do not. Ohio State went down and scored real quick. They just had too many weapons. I think I would look like a pretty decent quarterback if I had all those receivers and running backs, and just the amount of talent that they have on that offense is just absurd. But like you said, happy they at least came back and made a game of it at the end. Like, there was a real chance. They were like, all right, Ohio State has to get us first down here. And well, what did they do? They left Jeremiah Smith one-on-one. Ooh, and game over. Kid's pretty good as a freshman. But yeah, that's over. And now it's on to the championship games for NFL, the AFC, NFC championships this upcoming weekend. And as always, they feature the Patrick Mahomes led Kansas City Chiefs. He has never not played in the AFC championship game. With the Bills this time, round four of the Chiefs and Bills in the playoffs. They always provide some great entertainment, these games. So looking forward to this weekend. It's the surprise of the playoffs, Jaden Daniels and the Commanders upsetting the 1-seed Lions over the weekend. Jaden Daniels just being awesome. Cliff Kingsbury dialing up plays in important games and doing a great job. So what are your thoughts on, or how do you see this playing out? Super Bowl wise, I know we both were kind of favoring the Lions headed into this one.
Oh,
they got knocked out. But where do you see this one going? For some reason, I feel like the Bills are going to get it done this year. Maybe it's just because the Chiefs haven't been like the Chiefs just yet. They weren't even really the Chiefs in that Texans game. And I feel like the Bills, it's their time. I don't know.
The deal with the Chiefs, though, their defense is just so damn good.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about what they did to the Texans, is shutting them up and sending those loser Houston Texans home. It was 9 sacks, and just Chris Jones and Karlaftis just causing havoc. Whenever it was a big play and mattered, big third down, they brought the heat and got a sack like every time. And it's like the fact that they have like the best defense and best D line, probably. I mean, the Eagles are pretty good too. Like, I love that. Yeah, Jaden Daniels having a great run. I'm just glad we get Bills Chiefs like round 4. They've met 3 times. It's gone the Chiefs' way. Doesn't mean it's going to go their way again, but the Bills have been a good story all year after getting rid of some older Pro Bowl type players and letting some young guys step up, and they're still awesome. I like that 2 of these games last weekend were really good snow football games.
Oh, yeah.
If you watch some clips of the Eagles, like in the first quarter to the fourth quarter, you would think it's like 6 weeks apart, those football games. And crazy. So like, I still think, I mean, the Bills Chiefs is going to be an awesome game because of Mahomes and Andy Reid dialing it up. So that should be a pretty great game. I mean, I'm not counting Washington out, but I favor the Eagles in that one pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not counting them out, especially the way Jaden Daniels has been playing.
Yeah.
I don't expect him to go in and do that, but I didn't expect him to go in and beat the Lions either, so we'll see. But, yeah, I'm excited for a Chiefs-Bills game. I mean, they just always provide great entertainment. Every game has been awesome that they play, and I expect this one to probably be the same. So, going to be a fun Sunday with Tech basketball, a couple playoff games, so going to be a good weekend. Last little tidbit here. Micah Hudson, man.
Yeah.
Throw it in. Who knows what the hell is going on? Seems like he was back on campus. He stepped away from A&M. Is he enrolled at A&M? Is he not? There's just a lot of stuff going around, but there's belief, there's smoke that there's a possibility that Micah Hudson might be returning to Texas Tech. I don't know how any of that would work. I would assume if he's enrolled in A&M, he would have to hit the portal again, transfer back. If he didn't enroll in classes, I guess he was still free to sign wherever. I don't know. But what are your thoughts on the whole Micah Hudson saga that's taken over today?
Yeah, popped up last night and this morning, I guess. And I don't understand it from the him and A&M side. It's weird and mind-blowing. Just like me and my thoughts of when he left and what he's doing at the end of the year, like he's got a lot of bridges to fix and fences to mend that he probably burned with some of this coaching staff, I feel like, at the end of the year. You know, I know Kittley.
Luckily, some of those guys are gone.
Some of those guys are gone, but the majority of them are still here. And I mean, it's still like you got to fix that. And then, like, I would think Joey's having some hard discussions with him if they're talking like, all right, here's what we need you to do. You can't do this BS that you did last year. And if you're injured, just check out of the whole team like you did at the end of the year, apparently. Also, learn the effing playbook so you can get on the field more. Like, he's got a lot to do, like, just in the building and on the field, like, way different. Way, way different than what he did last year, like preparation wise. And so if you can get those fences mended and built and can set some parameters for him, because I think he kind of needs that apparently from what we saw last year where he was flying free and not doing his work. So like, that's where I'm at. Cause obviously the potential is there to become a really good player. Cause he's a crazy good athlete from what we saw, you know, coming up. And so we'll see what happens out of all this.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, if he wants to come back, I'll have him. I'll always take that talent. But yeah, like you said, there's got to be some stipulations with that. He's got to put the work in, got to put up or shut up kind of thing. And I'm sure, like, I don't know, you'd hope that this is like a little bit of a wake up call for him that, I got to put in the effort here. But, you know, one of the pieces that I think we need still is a wide receiver. So I would gladly take him back. If he's going to put in the effort and be a good teammate, learn the playbook. Yes. Does Coach Leftwich have a extra room at his house that maybe he could stay at? Or
Somewhere in that new giant facility, yeah, put him in one of the offices as his freaking room. Like, don't even let him leave the facility.
Put him in the room where the playbook's just running constantly. That way, he goes to sleep looking at the playbook and he'll just never forget it. I don't know. But an interesting development, something that kind of caught everybody off guard. I don't think anybody was expecting it.
It's crazy.
The A&M news, like he had stepped away from practice. So a lot going on. Obviously, nothing set in stone. Nobody knows really where his head's at other than Micah Hudson. So who knows if he's back or if he's going to just go right back to A&M. We'll find out, but of course, we'll talk about it when it hits. But other than that, that's everything we got for you guys this week. Once again, hope you enjoy your weekends. Hope you're staying warm out there. It's been pretty damn cold. Ready for a little bit warmer weather. But hopefully you enjoy your conference championship weekends, your basketball, whatever you got going on. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next